This is a production of Cornell University.
UA meeting September 11th, 2012.
The timer's going again.
Okay, right.
Hi, guys. I called the meeting to order at 4:39 p.m. September 11th. So the first item on the agenda is to approve the meeting's minutes. The minutes have been distributed to you guys. Is there any corrections?
Let's start at
37. Let's start with May 1st. So you have the minutes for May 1st. 2012. Is there any corrections to those minutes? I hear no corrections, so we approve the minute. Move to approve the minutes for May 1st. Oh dear. All in favor? Okay, minutes has been passed for May 1st. Now we move on to August 28th. Is there any corrections to the minutes on August 28th, 2012? Motion to approve.
Yes. We have one correction, actually. On Campus Welfare Committee, I believe you're the chair, or I'm the chair.
Oh, I am the chair.
So, minor change. Joyce, the chair of the welfare committee, and I'm just on the committee.
Any objection to that change?
Is there any objection to that change? All right. All in favor of motion to approve the minutes with corrections for August 28th, 2012? Seconded. All in favor? Okay. Minutes have been approved for August 28th. All right. Do we do new items to the agenda? Any new items to the agenda at this moment? Thank you, Amy, for the
story. Not that good.
Not that we'll be expecting it every day.
All right. The next item on the agenda is reports. We're going to start with the executive board report, which is going to be done by me. So the executive board met last week on Tuesday, and we discussed a few things. One of them was bringing guests to later UA meetings. So we have three areas where we want a speaker to come from. The first one would be IT, Strategy Planning Committee. And they are coming at the next meeting on September 25th at 5 p.m. So we will have a speaker from the IT Strategy Planning. And then we have sustainability, and there is a student who will come in contact with the executive board on some of his proposals for sustainability. And lastly, we have diversity. And right now we have Lynette from the Central Diversity Officers, and she is scheduled to come on October 16th to give us a little talk and report. Also, we were talking about communication strategies. We will be discussing that at the next EB meeting, and we are hoping to make the UA more visible on campus. If you have any ideas, please email the chair@ua.edu.
All right, on the board.
So if you have any ideas, yes.
A quick one, I wonder if Kathy Zoner would like to come.
The JA, you know, that grant typically is supposed to come every year, so they may want to come together and talk about crime and anything else they might want to talk about.
I would add Randy's recommendation in that I just saw an article from Kathy Zoner saying violent crime on campus is up, and this is something we routinely review on an annual basis. We also probably, it's too early, so if they came a little later, see how our Codes and Judicial Committee changes at the end of last year have been working. In other words, by feedback. Separately, those speakers sound great. Is there things that we are being asked to vet? Have they gone through the like Campus Infrastructure Committee or anything like that? Like for IT and those? In other words, there are a lot of things we might consider, but is there things that we're looking at?
So the purpose of them coming in, if I might answer your question, I want to jump in here. But the purpose of them coming in is because we've identified these three issues that we can immediately address for the UA. So we know that they're working on the IT strategic plan, and just having them come in and give a presentation so that then we can direct the committee to address those issues. Did I answer your question?
Yes, absolutely. The other two were kind of self-evident. I wasn't sure what our interest was. The strategic plan, so no, we want to know, but to what purpose?
Yeah, we tried to identify three different issues that each of the committees could have a hand in at the EB.
And then, again, I wasn't here last week, but following up on our motions to the president on banning, you know, some of the licensing, and there were meetings held and follow-ups done. I forget what, forgive me, the name of the committee on licensing.
The Oversight Committee, yeah.
Are we satisfied that these companies have listened, made improvements, or are the recommended actions, follow-on actions coming?
I could give an update on that. If that's,
yeah, go ahead.
In regards to the FLA at the very end of last semester, we're still in talks with the university. President Gordon just received a note back from the head of the FLA, or Van Heerden. So we'll be discussing that in the next few weeks. And then for Adidas, the Licensing Oversight Committee voted last Thursday to cut our contract with Adidas. And President Gordon recently submitted it to the Jim Mingle, the counsel for the university, and so we should be hearing a decision back on that soon.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, sorry, if I can just add to my update. The other part that we're working on was joining the Designated Suppliers Program. I don't know if that specifically went through the UA, but that's a program to try to encourage all licensees that go through Cornell to improve their factories to be up to the code of conduct that is stated at Cornell. And President Gordon announced last week that we would be joining the DSP officially.
Oh, excellent.
Where is the DSP?
So it's a program by the Workers' Rights Consortium, which we're already a member of, which is based in D.C. But this is a new program specifically to help factories over time improve their standards. And so we joined on into the principles of it in 2006, but it's gone through an extensive legal review, and this past summer was deemed not to violate antitrust law.
6 years, that's
extensive. Yeah. so now that it's not violating antitrust laws and can go forward legally, we've now officially signed off the program.
All right. Lastly, we are, I guess, in a joint effort with the trustee and also the student assembly to, I guess, start a diversity initiative where we are going to try to form a class required by freshmen on diversity and other issues. There will be a resolution drafted within the next week, and we will circulate that around for you guys to all review, and we will discuss and maybe pass it next meeting on the 25th.
I have a suggestion for that, which would be the way that curriculum requirements are done at Cornell is very decentralized. Mm-hmm. Each college has its own way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
The only one that I'm familiar with, because I knew that when I was a student in CALS, is CALS has a curriculum committee that actually is open to student members. There are slots for students. I imagine there are similar mechanisms in each of the colleges. It might be good if whoever's taking the lead on this investigate what those levers are in each college and sees if some advocate for that proposal could be identified in each college, because barring some massive change in the way the university governs academics, which I think would take at least 6 years, 60 years maybe, that's probably the surest way to basically to persuade each college to adopt that requirement independently.
So this would be an actual one semester class? It's not, we're not talking, because last I recall this issue, they were talking about doing a couple of hour block in student orientation.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a vastly smaller scope, I suppose, than a semester class with, for whatever number of credits. And so my question in advance would be, does this recommendation have faculty senate support?
Right.
Because mm-hmm. it's nice that we have an opinion on this, but they're going to hunker in really quick and weigh in on anything like that.
Maybe that comment was... Is it the CALS model that you are thinking of? Or, I know that was coming from the leadership front where they mentioned that they have a diversity initiative in the CALS school.
Right, so this has been talked about before in various forums, including a few years ago, and kind of sprung up again in the spring. And I think the main goal at this point is not to set forward one specific model, but to just really explore it. And often when it's been brought up, we've just kind of heard things about, faculty need to approve it, it needs to go through these 20 million channels, and like that's the answer, as opposed to just actually sending through the channels and seeing what people think about it. So I think just the goal of a resolution like this would be to just kind of put it in the forefront and say, okay, it's time to discuss it, let's start moving through these channels and see what people say. So I think at this stage it's not an endorsement of a particular kind of program, but that... of the idea itself, and that should be pushed forward.
And I do believe that the CALS requirement is can be fulfilled by any diversity class that is set by list. And if you take any of these classes, you will be able to fulfill your requirements. I guess what we're hoping or envisioning to do is a university-wide same class by all the freshmen. But obviously we will run into many issues if we try to set a curriculum right now for the faculty. So we're basically trying to get the idea rolling into the public for students to see and for everybody to see that we are going to start this and we want to get it going.
Well, obviously I'm for the intent of it. But we're not going to mandate anything to the faculty.
Mm-hmm.
The best we're going to do is call on the faculty senate to take up the issue and hopefully agree with us and approve and move forward.
And that's probably not where it will come up anyway. It will come up college by college.
Right.
For instance, in engineering, the CCGB is called the governing board. Any change in requirements, college-wide requirements, has initiated in that board and voted on that board, which has representatives. I think there's a body that's CALS-wide that's analogous to that that doesn't really maybe do the same thing. And I think at Arts College, you should know this actually, but there's a designated course from another culture on farm, right? Which isn't exactly like diversity, but in a way it's like. So you have to take a course that covers another culture and another time period. And or I'm not sure. So there is a requirement. Those are existing courses. So those are not new courses. Those are courses that may be old but can be molded to fill out a requirement. But they're not college-wide courses.
of departments.
I don't want to truncate time because this is a really helpful discussion, but it might be good for us to, now that the issue's been raised, sort of direct it to the welfare committee to help the students who are currently undergoing these initiatives to further the conversation with them.
And I would add that if you want this to be successful in short order, you need to get the words of that resolution to the student assembly, since it will affect freshmen,
mm-hmm.
and to the faculty senate members, because they're going to end up weighing in one way or another, either because of how it comes up in the colleges or whether, and hammer that out before we're sending something to President Scorton, because he's not going to say absolutely. He's going to say, looks great, I need to consult executives, people, and we should do that in route if we can.
So when there's a resolution being drafted for the essay, not this Thursday but next Thursday, and then hopefully we could have a similar draft of encouragement in the UA the Tuesday following.
Well, resolutions of encouragement, that's not hard.
Right.
But if you're going to talk about more specifics, like all freshmen
right.
required to graduate or something like that, well, then you get a lot more vested interest. So it really depends on the
terms. Just to reiterate, I think the committee would do a great service to this proposal by creating a roadmap that says here are the groups that you need to go to get this to happen.
Just, right.
You know, it's only seven colleges, so seven
and
committees.
Starting now,
and one of them is already
the year
adopted.
We can have something.
Yeah.
So taking it early is definitely the right way to go, but we got to go about it the right way, or it's going to stall or create roadblocks that didn't need to be there. Because
mm-hmm.
we didn't ask the right people in the right semi-right order.
Okay, any further discussion? So we might want to move on to the next item.
Next item on the agenda, approval of the meeting schedule.
No, it's the
Neither Adam
the,
nor Mitch are here, though.
Yeah, Adam Gillen is here, Mitch isn't here, Tanya isn't here. And
so Edward's here. Edward, what do you have to say?
Oh, Joe is here. Hi. So I guess we're
going
to have
the... I don't know what's going on,
though. We're still on the report section.
Yes.
So is there any member from Student Assembly who could give a quick update on... what's going on there? Just like a
flip notification? We don't have any members of the SA here.
Cool.
I go to the meetings, but I if there's a quick update, they're taking up a few things now. There's recent changes to the Student Assembly Finance Commission rules that are being debated. There's also been a lot of talk around diversity, including kind of restructuring the SA's board to maybe include a position, although that's being debated. But I don't think you'd have to talk to Adam for like any big initiative they're really planning for this semester.
Great.
I guess for the graduate GS.
I have a report from the graduate students. So the GPSA update is that we are currently working on the GCI and the GPSA. We are forming. This is the graduate student initiative. Community initiative. I will literally read it word for word as Mitch gave it to me. We are forming an ad hoc committee to update the 2007 graduate community initiative. We're focusing on evaluating what we had done before, how well it worked, and what issues we may have missed last time around. We'll be actively seeking the input of graduate and professional students across campus, meeting with administrators, and hopefully reaching out to other assemblies as representatives of constituencies that graduate students and professional students interact with. We also passed our budget and bylaws at the last meeting. We'll be attending the National Association of Graduate and Professional Students, which, like it sounds, is the National Group for Graduate Student Associations. And also, the GPSA Programming Board has started their activities as a byline-funded group, ensuring that programming for grad and professional students is being more expansive and applicable to the diversity of life cycles found in the graduate community. So that's their update. And then,
right,
any questions, I guess, for graduate students? We got two here.
Mm-hmm. Although, I've been out of the loop a little bit.
Did the big red barn get re-roofed yet?
No. They did get ID scanners to keep undergrads out, though.
That's negative.
We're also talking about a dining room for we're the only body on campus that doesn't have any Big Red Bus bonus.
There is.
Okay. You're just raising your hand in with a sad
face. Meals by Design is a program just for graduate students.
Okay.
It's they're about the only thing.
It was the discount, I think. It doesn't work for the tax.
Meals by Design, all except you have other weak dining plan relative to meals.
So this is what came up at our last meeting. We're discussing it, and it, you know, we're getting more options.
Could I also add that Meals by Design has a $50 administrative fee per year?
That's why many of us have not enrolled in.
The professional for the county does not have one, and that one is only a $50 minimum, or the Meals by Design is $250, and I think that should be paid.
Yeah, but I think what you're talking about is exactly what the presentation was about. It was that once you pay the $50 administrative fee, you're not actually saving any money.
Exactly.
We'll give you $50 if you pay twice the amount you're currently paying for parking.
Is there any questions for the TSPA, TPFA? Is there any employee who is willing to give a report?
Hello. The Employee Assembly has been working very closely all summer with HR, and mainly in the response to the employee engagement survey. We've met many times, and now we are in the phase where proposals are being sent to Mary Opperman and being presented this week, and then hopefully we'll go on from there to David. We have elected two new members, as one member had relocated shortly after the election, and the other member was removed due to inactivity. So after several attempts to contact them, the new members are Greg Mezzi from the Statler Hotel, and we have Nancy Bell joining us from Cal. So we're excited about that. We now have a full slate, so that's all good. Other than that, we are very busy gearing up for the President's Address to the Employees, which has been slated for October 9th, which has moved all of the proposals for the response to the employee survey right along, which is great because we needed that deadline to get us to where we're at now.
Thank you.
And I compliment the Employee Assembly for the press that I've already seen about that and emails. And that's because you're doing an excellent job getting the word out.
And there's more to come. We're very excited. Thank you.
Any questions for the Employee Assembly? Great. Joe, would you like to give a report for the Faculty Senate?
The Senate meets tomorrow for the first time.
Oh, okay.
But in the meantime, I've done things over the summer. I just took office on July 1st, so I spent the summer vacation, I call it, going around campus talking to vice presidents and vice provosts and deans, met all the entire administration for an hour, at least, started to attend senior administrative meetings. People in the office have staffed all of our committees pretty much fully. I guess there are three or four initiatives that have taken place over the summer, which I'll announce tomorrow. One is that with support from the provost, there is now a faculty lunch program for staff, actually, and faculty get soup and bread over in the staff for $3.50 upstairs in the room to reserve so they can be sort of confidential conversations. We're initiating something called faculty forums, which will be one of the semester on topics of educational interest that we want to try to get out in front of the administration, or at least alongside the administration, because the administration doesn't stand and tells us what to do about things. So the one that we will have, and this will have occurred in 2 weeks, is on MOOCs, these massive online open enrolled courses. The thought is we formed a panel of a couple of faculty members who were interested in the topic to talk about what is going on in the outside world. We've arranged for the head of two of the three major consortia, that is Coursera, led by one from Stanford, and edX, a group from Harvard and MIT. Each of those will come in and talk to us by video for 15 or 20 minutes, and then we'll have more discussions about the educational importance of this and how this will change education at Cornell, how we might influence this. And then I've been working to try to, since I'm just new at the job, to look at the charges for Senate committees and finding that they're not all accurate for the current position that no longer exists, functions that no longer exist. And so we're trying to change those charges. And I intend to form a work-life committee to deal with issues of enormous importance to the faculty. Even more important issues like parking, child care, salary benefits packages, things like that. And the goal here would be to get one committee to look at all of these issues and improve the climate of the faculty and have that committee have individuals who would then make that particular vice president's actually carry out the policy. So they have a sounding board. And I went and asked, why did you send a letter? Put it against you, say that it's a stupid letter, and no one will contact you. So that's what
we're doing. Could you repeat what the acronym was for that NASA?
MOOC. MOOC. And there's, you know, the poster child for this is a course on artificial intelligence run by Stanford last year that was initial enrollment. 160,000 people. And not everyone finished the course, but more people finished the course than all the other courses that were held in the Chicago College of Stanford.
And all those people got credit?
The credit is yet to be determined. They got badges or certificates.
Kisses right, on their cheek from their mother or something like that.
And if it was free?
Totally free.
To take, but if they...
And if the same course was being given at Stanford simultaneously, and it turned out that something like 80% of the people at Stanford stopped attending lectures and did the online course instead of found it more attuned to their style and to their content.
So the people that did attend the classes, did they feel like they... it was unchanged, their experience was unchanged, or better or worse?
From what I've heard, most of the folks who give the courses think that they will never teach a lecture course in the same style. That will change their whole philosophy of education. And most of the people who take the courses are quite satisfied, from what I understand. But I mean, that's something we need to explore. But this train seems to be moving them.
And it has the ability to interact with, I mean, so the classroom environment allows us to talk to Ed, and Ed's inputs inform the class or debate. And
a lot of that is done online.
And this can be done effectively.
Involved. This came from a meeting talking about it over. There's a thing on the information technologies grant today. A MOOC session, a couple of people there were members of these classes and said, you know, what happened in the classroom is that they were. After a lecture, or the lectures were broken up into sort of 10-minute segments to try to make it a little bit more jumping, and then there would be, you could post questions that you had being raised by the lecture or the presentation, and folks then would vote on those, and the ones that were the most important would percolate to the top, and then the faculty member would answer the question.
Huh.
And there was also peer grading, and people would get credit for the good questions they asked or the great help they gave to somebody else and solve the problem.
Mm. You said this is a faculty senate, like working group right now?
I'm going to hold a faculty forum, which will
okay.
be, you know, trying to get topics that I think might be of interest.
Okay.
And my intention is to do a couple of other ones, you know, what's the library on look like in the 21st century. What actually is happening in New York City? Are you thinking when they came back? 6 months or 2 years is coming. That's when we can't tell you. Now we're too busy to tell you.
I was on a committee at the University of Washington 4 years ago that was just a distance learning policy committee. And I'm wondering for now how it's kind of coordinated structure for making policy on distance learning and kind of being. People talking about MOOCs and things people have kind of were involved in Cornell.
There are lots of players. There is no, to my knowledge, there is no online distance learning committee per se right now.
Okay.
That might be an example. I mean, there's a great deal of interest certainly in the information technology sector.
Yeah, certainly I think that there are fellow practitioners who would be interested in being part of this conversation.
It really sounds like maybe you should later give a presentation about this to the UA. There seems to be a bit of interest in this group about the faculty forum specifically.
Okay. There are certainly others that
will
follow. Well, it's timely for this IT discussion, too, because I'm bandwidth.
Yeah.
The chair recognizes Ari.
So I had a question. I know we've been having discussions at the staff level, but I wanted to make sure that folks were aware of them at this level, too, about filling university assembly vacancies for faculty. And I believe there are two remaining vacancies in the university assembly that could really use faculty appointments. There are also three standing committees of the UA, two of which deal with issues that you just mentioned for work life. Campus Infrastructure Committee has had a long relationship with transportation services and frequent discussions about parking fee structures and changes to the commuter and parking rules. And also there is a Campus Welfare Committee which has in the past addressed family services, child care issues. So it would be great to have a faculty voice on both those committees, and there are two faculty slots on each.
Okay, those are the ones we didn't look at. We had to look up, must be 100 slots in the last summer.
We have, that's actually, though, a reduced number of committees compared with the UA in past years, where it was very difficult to staff faculty to five committees, and there's a hope that with three it'll be a little bit more manageable.
Is there any questions for Joe? All right, thank you, Joe, for the report. The next item on the agenda is approval of the meeting schedules and the committee meeting schedules. We did look at the schedule for this year's meeting at the last meeting, but we did not ever approve it. So today we're going to approve of the meeting schedule. And we are going to talk a little bit about the committee meeting schedule. So let's start with the University Assembly meeting schedule for 2012-2013. Is there any objections to the meeting schedule as is?
That's this, Madam Chair, that's this piece of paper here. And basically, yep. If I'm reading it correctly, we're going to one meeting a month. The follow-up meeting, the bi-monthly would only be as needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Similar to the past year's week.
Is there a motion to approve this?
Motion to approve.
All right. Any objections? The meeting schedule for 2012 to 2013 have been approved. Next, we move on to the committee meeting schedule. So as of this moment, the EB discussed the committee meeting schedule, and we feel that it is best if the committee meets the same time as the university assembly meetings on the off weeks of the regular meeting, follow-up meeting, and EB meeting, which means that as
conceptualized,
yes,
if you will, it would be once a month, I believe the third Tuesday of every month, correct?
Mm-hmm.
The,
yep.
Is that the September 11th, October 16th anomaly, or is that different?
So it wouldn't be the mm-hmm. September 25th.
So the last meeting was a UA meeting on August 28th. And then last week we had the executive board meeting. And then today we have a follow-up meeting. And committee meeting should conceptually be next week. Around the same time as the UA meeting, the chair will decide the place and hopefully we'll be able to hold it in Dave's Hall all at the same time. So we could be close to each other. And then the week after that will be
the
25th, which will be a regular UA meeting again.
So if I might, point of information. Basically, the thought process behind this is that we already know that for the most part, people have Tuesdays free, and that if this time slot works, if we have the committee meeting, all three committees meeting next week, Tuesday, at 4:30, we could find like a similar three rooms in Day Hall to meet, and that way it would be very easy for both the coordinators to find the meeting rooms, and also most people should have the time free without much finagling.
I mean, at the same time, some of us, you know, are already kind of, you know, sacrificing some Tuesday afternoon things to be here, and you know, I mean, I've got. Except as I'll have to miss, you know, as long as I'm on the committee, I'll have to miss at least one labor relations department workshop per month. And, you know, I mean, I feel like that's kind of adding the hardship for those of us who have other things. This is, you know, time slot, and the university does try to cram in a lot of workshop other departments using, you know, this 4:30 to 6.
So our thought process was at least for the initial meeting to have it at this particular schedule. Obviously, it would be at the discretion of the committees and the committee chairs about the meetings after that, but we want to try to get the ball rolling and that sort of thing. I recognize your concern, and I...
This is only a recommendation for the committee chairs, so it is up to the committee chairs to decide when, where, and how often to meet. So this is the recommendation by the university, the executive board. So I guess address this issue to your committee chair, and they will hopefully gear the meeting towards yours. Any other questions for meeting schedule or committee meeting schedule? All right. The next item on the agenda is appointment to the committee. We already appointed most of the positions on the standing committee, but we do have a few vacancies. We have one vacancy on the Code and Judiciary Committee and one on the Campus Welfare Committee. So is there any members of the University Assembly that wants to be on the Code and Judiciary Committee?
And you're an undergrad. I will, with the committee's, with the Assembly's permission, I will go to the Code and Judicials Committee as an employee representative. If I have your approval, I was on it last year.
I do want to make a clarification about the employee representative statement. Just because of the way appointments work with UA, it can get a little bit confusing. So I just want to, the committee structure in UA standing committees is three members are appointed by the University Assembly. One of them is the chair. And those have to be members of the University Assembly. So you would be representing both. And that was the point I wanted to get across there, because there are additionally eight other members who are appointed by the individual constituent assemblies, two from each assembly and the Senate. So.
Any
objections to appointing Jim to the Code and Judiciary Committee? I hear no objections, and thanks to Jim. Congratulations, you are on the Clothing Judiciary Committee. next, we have to fill the Campus Welfare Committee. Is there anybody who is interested in that committee?
It's lots of fun, guys.
It will be lots of fun.
If I wasn't chair of the infrastructure, I would definitely be on that.
I do believe we
have to fill it, right?
The vice chair, the EB, if nobody's going to volunteer, and bring out the oil rod and beat somebody into submission. But I would try and talk to them offline before putting them in this room.
Yeah. This might be a great opportunity for us to, again, point out, in addition to the faculty position, encouraging representatives from your respective bodies to try to make these meetings. And I believe the student assembly still has to appoint two representatives.
One more.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the TPSA, I think, has their chairman.
No more. Perfect.
Yeah, for this. Wow, okay. All right, we do not have a volunteer for the Campus Welfare Committee, so I...
We can talk to people offline. Yeah.
I move to appoint you to find us
a person.
Wow.
Ramp
All right. Next item on the agenda is confirmation of the faculty appointment to the University Hearing and Review Board. You guys should have all gotten an email from the Dean of Faculty. And the Dean of Faculty have appointed three new professors to the University Hearing and Review Board. And to be able to be appointed, they have to have the UA's approval. So everybody should review their letter of recommendation.
So this is Professor Overton, Hoshorn, and Fletcher?
Yes, sir. Do we have to do them one at a time? Do we have to do them one at a time? One at a time?
They can be presented, you could present them as. That's all three of them. People want to divide it, they can do that.
Okay. All right. I would like to present Professor Overton, Professor Oshorn, and Professor Fletcher. I'm butchering their names. As the new faculty appointees to the University Hearing and Review Board, is there any objections to their appointment? I hear no objections, so the UA appoints the following professors to the University Hearing and Review Board. Any other business?
You'll get him down. You're doing fine.
I already have
a smile. Oh, great.
I'm trying. You should have seen me today. I was holding a Robert's Rule book. All right, motion to adjourn the meeting. The meeting is now adjourned at 5:22 p.m.
Excellent. Well done.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.